earth. So we can have ugliness that's in the world, especially right now, and we are tempted to bring ugliness in our midst ourselves, as ugly as the Christmas sweater some of us are wearing now. Last week we talked about ugly thoughts, and a lot of our ugly actions, our ugly words come from the genesis of ugly thoughts. That's where it starts. We end up hurting others because of the things that maybe we're thinking about, and we just let those things out. Today we're going to talk about ugly words, saying things that hurt other people, perhaps even when we're not really aware of what we're doing or what we're saying. Words are powerful. I want to give you an example of words that create perhaps a visceral reaction within you. So we're going to do a little test here. I want to know what these words, we're going to have them on the screen, I'll read them out. I don't have them in my notes right now. They're going to be on the screen only, okay? So when we're going to test these words out to see what they do to you, what you first think or what you first feel on the scale of ah and ooh, okay? All right, let's practice ahs. Like, oh, it's a cute puppy. Ah, oh, traffic accident. Ooh. Okay, all right, so you got the idea. All right, so I'm going to throw some, well, we're going to move through this quick. Is that Abby up there? Abby, so we're going to go through this. What's the first one up there? Ah or ooh? Hot chocolate. Ah, yeah, hot chocolate. That's not so bad. Okay. Christmas lights. Ah, yeah, everybody likes Christmas lights unless you're hanging them. Yeah, okay. Shopping. Ooh, nobody likes that unless it's online. Oh, wait, whoa. We got some ahs. Some people like to shop. Okay, all right. How about rapping? Ooh, some people like to rap, though. Okay, good. All right, little oohs, little ahs. How about opening gifts? Yeah, just about everybody likes that. Yeah, unless you know you're getting coal. Snow. This should be a little divided here. Yeah, I'm going to go ooh myself. I don't like snow. We have any ahs up there? Oh, okay, up there. All right, some people like the snow. Mistletoe. Yeah, it looks like the mistletoe. Okay. Yeah, all right, what else? Eggnog. Oh, there's some who actually like it. Whoa. Next week, eggnog charity. Okay. No. Ew, yeah. All right, what else? Fruitcake. Ew, yeah, nobody actually likes fruitcake. Gotta get that. What's cleaning up pine needles, you know, if you have, remember the old trees, we used to have real trees, remember that? Okay, how about this last one? Route 79 in Heath at 6:30 p.m. on December 23rd. Ew. I could have said Christmas traffic, I guess, but specifically 79 in Heath is just awful, period. All right, so words have power. Words have meaning. Every word evokes a response within us, and it can get us excited or it can make us disgusted. They have meaning, and it matters how and when we use our words. Our words hold power. Our words hold power. This concept of our words holding power shows up fairly often in scriptures, especially in the Proverbs. Proverbs is full of axioms about how our words, how we use them, how they can be used, can build up people or tear them down, okay? Our words have meaning and power. Proverbs is full of practical application stuff, like here's how you can say that, and here's how you can do these things. Well, here's one, Proverbs 18, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Man. It's an incredible responsibility. The tongue, just the tongue itself, has the power of life and death. How we speak to each other, our words hold the power of life and death. Think back to your childhood. I'm sure you can think about things that were said to you that either built you up or tore you down. And probably most of us remember the ones that tore us down. Be honest about that. We remember the things that our parents told us, or our siblings or our closest family members or friends, teachers, the things that they told us that would either build us up or tore us down. And unfortunately, we probably remember the ones that tore us down the most, the things that destroyed you. You probably remember the things that drove you to therapy and counseling, right? But you can probably remember those more than the positive things. But either way, you remember them both. Here's something that's come up frequently lately, something that was said to me in particular, I think, and then in general, over and over. So I've shared with you about my grandparents a lot. They were meaningful to me. They had a farm not too far from ours. I'd ride my bike over there every single day to work with my grandfather, and we worked and worked and worked. Now, my grandparents were good church folk. Like, they loved Jesus. I think for the most part, they loved people too. Grandma, but she loved people who related to her. But she would always say this: all pastors are lazy. She said that all the time. Now, I think it's because, they have a church work day and the pastor would just show up and just like eat and then leave and never actually work. Or, she would always say, all pastors are lazy. She said that all the time, right? Well, several weeks ago now, a friend of mine we were talking, and I keep a pretty fast pace, pretty good rhythm of working, and I like to be productive and pretty busy. I up until I was sick all summer long, I didn't slow down and rest well. I had to over the summer, but like, man, I like to just be pushing most of the time, right? And so a friend of mine who's a pastor, he's like, why do you keep such an intense pace? Why do you keep going? I was like, I like to work. I grew up on a farm. I like to work. He's like, yeah. And then I said, well, my grandma always said all pastors are lazy. He's like, oh, you should probably see a counselor about that. Yeah. And then like that same week, my sister Marie. We had that little reception for Marie, who was coming into our family. She adopted her. And so we got there a little early to help set up. We're doing things. And my cousin comes in and says, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm helping get set up. Well, don't you know all pastors are lazy? Sit down. You only work on Sunday. I'm like, yeah, I'm getting counseling for that. So we remember the things that harm us, that kind of damage us. Words have power. They impact us. We can say things that give life, and we can say things that take life away. And many of us tend to overlook the simple truth that our words, the words that we speak, hold tremendous power, hold incredible power over other people and into other people. And when we're around our closest loved ones this time of year, that's when our words can have the most significant impact on the things that we say that maybe we should have kept to ourselves or maybe said it in a different way. Because maybe sometimes we need to say the thing, but the way that we say it ends up harming the relationship. And in this prolonged 2 years of stress that we've been under culturally and globally, we need to be even more careful about how we say the things that we say. As believers in Jesus, we must be intentional to avoid ugly words coming out of my mouth, to speak in ways that bring encouragement and build others up. Amen. This does not mean that we avoid sharing the truth, because we speak the truth. We got to have difficult conversations sometimes, but I know we can all agree there's a positive way and there's negative ways to convey truth to others. Speak the truth in love. Truth is always our message, but it comes in a basket of love, all right? Truth is the message. Love is the medium, is the way that we communicate. The book of James gives extensive warnings about the kinds of damage our speech can cause. James is addressing the early church as they were learning how to interact and just be believers. Like, he's just like, here's a whole nutshell of like things you ought to know and do and behave and the way you ought to talk to people as new believers in Christ. Because he knew that everything that they worked so hard to get as an early church could be wiped out immediately by saying the wrong thing or saying the right thing the wrong way. All right? And that is still true for all of us today. We can wipe out all of the goodwill that we have in our families, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our community by saying either the wrong thing or saying the right thing in the wrong way. Here's James chapter 3, 3 through 6. We're going to be kind of camping in James chapter 3 for the rest of the message. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. They are so great and driven by strong winds and are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how a great forest is set aflame with such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Now, James is making the point that we have to control our tongue. He gives examples of small things that control large things, like a bit, right? A bit to the horse's mouth. Anybody know about horses and stuff? You put a little thing in there and he pulls them back and you can direct a big giant horse with a tiny little thing. A rudder on a boat are usually just small, unless it's like the Titanic. That was pretty big, but you know, like great big ships. But relative to the size of the boat, it's still very small. A forest can be set ablaze by a small spark. We see all those things out in California and on the West Coast. A lot of them are just like, hey, I didn't mean to. I just threw a cigarette out, you know, and like the whole forest went down. The same is true for us and our tongues. The relative size to the body is very small, but it is literally one of the strongest groups of muscles per square inch that we have in our entire bodies, and it can do the most damage of all of our muscles. How often have you got, have you received an email or a text that makes you immediately angry, just like, bam! You just like see red as soon as you see that thing. Or maybe you see a post or a comment on social media that just makes you, just sets you right off. And your first inclination is to shoot right back, like, oh yeah, I'll show you. And you just want to send something right back in response with an email or a quick text or another comment back. What I'm learning is that that usually doesn't work. It usually doesn't go too well when you do that sort of thing. It usually does more harm than it does good. And so oftentimes I'll either not write or I'll go ahead and write and then hit delete instead of hit send. So I purge all the angst and the feeling and then I just delete that and then I don't have to worry about it anymore. Because when I take time to consider not just what I want to say, because I can have that pretty quick. Here's what I want to say. But when I take time to consider not just what I want to say, but also what I'm intending the result of this conversation to be, I'm able to control my words and keep them from causing more harm or causing the situation to escalate. And I think that's the key. What is the intended result of this interaction supposed to be? Just fire off and be right? Like, I just need to be right here, right now. Or are we trying to enhance our relationship with the other person so that we can both grow together and bring glory to Jesus? Now, we don't usually think about that. That's where I'm trying to grow into. Like, okay, let me, before I just show them how right I am, let's consider what it looks like to bring glory to Jesus in this and allow our relationship to grow. Our intended result will dictate how we respond. Without restraint, our words will often lead us into deeper conflict. We just keep getting worse and worse and worse with that relationship. So we need to remember that our words hold power. And then we need to do this. We need to put a leash on our lips. Put a leash on our lips. James 3:7 lists off all the animals that have been tamed by human beings, was quick to say that controlling one's tongue is a lot harder. Here he says, "For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race." When uncontrolled, our words can be evil and full of deadly poison. That sounds pretty drastic there. But I think it's true because, again, what we say and how we say it can cause life or death. That's what we learn from the Proverbs. Controlling our words isn't always easy. It's not something we can do on our own. We need the Spirit of God to empower us to be able to do that. There's a few practical ways we can control our tongues. Here's a little little filter to take it through. A couple of questions you can ask yourself. Will what I'm about to say honor God? Ask yourself before you fire back on it. Will what I'm about to say honor God? That's a true test of our words, is how they reflect on our Creator. We're made by God to be agents of love in the world, and we have a choice in participating in that love, participating in that purpose. Will what I'm about to say bring honor to God by showing love? All right? Here's a second question. Will what I'm about to say honor the person that I'm saying it to? All right? This is simple. Love God, love others. Bring honor to God, bring honor to other people. Will this honor that person? Because oftentimes, actually all the time, we reveal what we think about the Creator and how we treat the created. All right. Now, here's the last one. Will what I'm about to say be something that I would regret? So, when I get home at night and I go to bed, is this the thing going to keep me up at night? We did a whole series on that, on what keeps you up at night. We lay in bed and go, oh, man, I wish I hadn't have said that, or wish I hadn't said that that way. And then that keeps you up for the whole night, or maybe it should. Ugly words can cause damage, and sometimes, most of the time, it can't be reversed. A simple apology doesn't pull that back. It's been said. Now, you can be sorrowful for it, and you can regret it, but you can't pull those words back in. Believers in Jesus are meant to be carriers of joy, especially here at Christmas time. But we often will sabotage it with our careless words. Here's James chapter 3, 9 through 12. We're just moving on. With it, meaning the tongue, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out the same opening, both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Now let's just be honest about who we are as human beings. Okay, in a few weeks on December 23rd, we're going to gather in here. We're all going to sing wonderful Christmas songs. We'll have this great Christmas spirit alive within us. And since it's Thursday night, there will be lots of things going on the block. All right, you're going to have traffic issues. And there's the same mouth that says, oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the King. The same mouth will say things I'm not able to repeat in front of you right now. And you know this to be true. It's the same mouth. James says we will often praise God, and then turn right around and say ugly things to the people around us or about the people around us. And James says it's a problem. We can't have it both ways. You can't say you love God while cursing the people he's created. It says your spring can't bring forth both salt water and fresh water. A fig tree does not produce olives. Believers in Jesus must not speak out of both sides of their mouths. Remember, these words have power, so we must leash our lips. I'm standing here before you and say, I'm guilty, guilty, guilty of all these things. I am not by any means perfect in this stuff. And then here's the last thing. Speak from your heart. The words we use are a window into our hearts. They reveal our need for God to transform us from the inside out. Luke chapter 6, 45. A man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And so maybe the place we need to begin in changing our ugly words is actually right here in our hearts. And maybe last week's message still rings true. Our ugly thoughts, we need to change those. And sometimes we speak out of a broken heart and it causes us to lash out at others. Sometimes we speak from a hurt heart and it causes us to be cruel to others. And it means we got to take an honest look at ourselves. What's going on inside of me to create this situation where I am using ugly words and harming others? I want to speak from a heart in love with God and in love with people. And the first place we see this is in our closest relationships, the ones we have at home and the ones we have right next to us at work. When our hearts lean toward Jesus, we'll see that our words towards our spouse, towards our friends, even towards our enemies, towards our children, will change to better reflect His love. Mark Batterson, in his book, Praying Circles Around Your Kids, he introduces a concept of speaking intentional words over your children. He's like, what do you want your kids to be? Who does God want your kids to be? Start speaking those words into them. I have a friend who does that. He speaks the words into his daughter. He said he said it so often to her that she can repeat those words back to him. Because she believes it. She's beautiful, kind, strong. She's worthy. That's what's being sown into her, spoken into her life. Because words carry meaning, and it matters how and when we use words. Do we use them to lift each other up? This Christmas, I want you to use your words to lift each other up, to lift people up. Here's our practical thing this week. We don't have an ornament for you. I hope you took the ornament last week, what you're thankful for and what you're joyful for. This week, I want you to take a minute, actually, or however long it takes, think of one person that you know of that needs encouragement, and then go out of your way to give them those words. What words would you use to encourage that person? Maybe you could give them a phone call and tell them in person. Or maybe if you want to just send them a text or send them a letter. Boy, isn't it cool to actually get handwritten letters anymore? Maybe you could do that. They still have postage stamps. They're busy, aren't they? The post office is busy. But they'll get it. They'll get it there. I don't know what it would take for you to encourage that person, but think of someone in your mind this week and be intentional about going out of your way to encourage that person. It's been a tough couple years for all of us. Maybe we can choose today to make the best of what we have and go out and be a blessing to somebody and build somebody up with our words and the words that we choose and the way we choose to use our words. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the gift of language, the gift to be able to use the words that you've provided us to bless others. May we not use them to tear down people, but to lift them up and bear one another in love and encourage them and give them a sense of your grace. Give them a sense that they are special, worthy, that they are loved people. May we use our words to build up one another and the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.